I'm thankful for this opportunity to be together tonight and really desire that the Lord would visit us in these times. I'm glad that He cares about us each one. I'm thankful for the verse in 2 Peter 3. He's not willing that any would perish. He's not willing for me to perish. And there are things that can come into my life that heads me in the wrong direction. And He would like to come along and visit me about those things. I would like to look at something tonight. I'd like to start over in 1 Peter 5 and 8. Kind of a warning that comes to us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And every one of us is on his radar. And then it says, here's something we can do. Whom resist him, steadfast in the faith. That's what we want to be able to do. And there is a danger here. Should I come to a place that say, you know what? I've come to a place that I recognize where the devil is. He can no longer snare me. Then this verse starts popping in my head. Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Because the devil has a lot of plans, a lot of tricks for us. Before we start, I would like for us to look at a song. It's number 302. If we could sing it before we start. My soul be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise, and host of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. Oh, watch and fight and pray, the battle ne'er give o'er. Renew it boldly every day, and help divine implore. Ne'er think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Thine arduous work will not be done till thou hast got the crown. Fight on, my soul, till death shall bring thee to thy God. He will take thee at thy parting breath up to his blessed abode. So that songwriter looked at it and said, there's 10,000 foes out there. Now, I would tonight like to look at one of those things that the devil would like to use on us. But there are so many others. And you know, the trick that he would play on one, it does not even affect another person. Maybe they would have no trouble with it. So you know what? The devil's smart enough to know to come to me in the places that I'm weak on. I have no desire to go out into sin, nor does he tempt me with sin. But you know what? There are some other things that he knows. I can touch this area. And the Lord also knows those areas, and he would like to strengthen them for us. There's a verse, Psalms 119 and 109, just a real, real small verse. My soul is continually in my hands. Sunday we talked about choices that we make. You know, some of the choices that we make, when I make the choice, it has no, I can't see the end of it. In fact, it seems like it will not cause me any problem, the choice I'm making. But the Lord is able to see the smallest choice that I'm making, where that can end me up. So I'm needing him to work with me. There's another verse that I want us to look at. Because you know what? If he would show us, if he would show me, Dan, here's where the devil wants to work in your life. Look at this one in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. Wouldn't that be something to be able to recognize when the Satan is bringing something to us and recognize him in it? You know, many times the things that happen in our life, we don't see Satan to have any part playing in it. We see individuals that are working in things. But you know what? If we could only recognize, and I'm not ignorant of his devices, the things that he wants to use. I saw this sign before. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. If I can get a warning ahead of time, it's so beneficial to me. We go on the interstate and there's construction out ahead. You know, it seems like a big pain when they tell me 2 miles ahead they're dropping off pylons. You need to start slowing down. In 1 mile, you're going to need to merge. Why don't they just leave you alone and let you take care of it when you get there? Because it'd be some big trouble when you get there. Now, all of a sudden, it looked like I'm driving at night and it looked like everything is fine, and all of a sudden, there's no lane up here. It's been dug out. They're working on it. But instead, they come along forewarned is to be forearmed. It helps on the interstate. It also helps in my life for the Lord to bring to me places and say, Dan, this area right here, you want to watch it. Do you remember it was 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, said the king of Syria had some military plans. And in those plans, he said, this is where we're going to start our battle here. And the Lord would come along to Elisha and tell him exactly what those plans were. And Elisha was able to go to the king of Israel and say, mark yourself, he's coming to this spot. Not just once or twice, but several times he was able to tell that. You remember on that one, the king of Syria said, okay, we've got somebody in our camp that is telling them. And they said, no, it's not that. Elisha knows what you're saying in your bedchamber. Well, that's pretty nice. But you know what? It'd be sure nice in my life for me to live close enough to the Lord that the Lord would tell me, Dan, this area, watch it. Watch it close. Because this is an area that the devil would like to come. So Dan, strengthen this area in your life. Remember Jesus said, the prince of this world, he's coming. But he does not have anything in me. Is it possible that we could walk close enough to the Lord that he strengthens the areas in my life that when the devil comes along to touch something, there's nothing there that belongs to him. Nothing that he is able to touch. So here is the place tonight. And this is something that the Lord's been working with me for quite a while. Because there are some places that it says this could happen. This may happen. This one says it's going to happen. And nobody is going to escape it. It's in Luke 17 and 1. It is impossible, but that offenses are going to come. To every one of us, offenses are going to come. Now, if you look back at what we've looked at up now, my soul be on thy guard. Because this is one that the devil has got a lot of experience in. He can bring it to the most sanctified saint and just put a little touch. You know when the talked about the sower and the seed, that was had good intentions. It was sowing the word of God into a person's heart. You know what the devil wants to do? The same thing. He cannot bring the full-blown where this offense will lead me, so he just drops a little seed. Maybe comes back by a little later and puts a little water on it and leaves. If he stayed there with you all the time and said, I'm the devil, I'm going to take you down a road with this offense that has come to you, we'd recognize him. But oftentimes, we don't recognize Satan anywhere in the offense that comes to us. And you know, in the places that this can happen, it can happen at home. It can happen at work. It can happen at church. Anywhere. You know, we love the verse that says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's Jesus talking. Do you know what that same thing applies in the subject that we're dealing with? Where two or three are gathered together, you put two or three people together in life, and you're going to have some offenses come. And Satan is going to be real busy to work in those things in our life. An offense, an annoyance, or resentment brought about by a perceived insult to or the disregard for oneself. When I become aware of it, when I perceive that it's something that has come against me, my perception of what they meant by what they said. You know how the devil can get in here and start working? Here's what I'm interested in this for tonight, is not so much about the offender, but when the offense has come to me, what can I do? My soul be on thy guard. There are some things that want to draw me from the skies. The devil does not care if it takes a year or 2 years. He'll plant the seed, move off, and let it grow. There's something that I need to realize. Jesus had the ability to know thoughts and intents of people's heart. I was reading in a place where when he said to a man, thy sins be forgiven thee, the people around said, who's able to forgive sin? And they must have been saying it in their heart, because he said he perceived what they were thinking and he was able to deal with it. You know, I need to remember, I'm unable to know the intents of a person's heart. And you know what is really good for me? That I acknowledge I don't want to know what the intent of a person's heart is. You ever have someone accuse you of what you meant by what you said? How can you fix that? You can just say, well, no, that's not what I meant. But you know, when it comes, as I've been thinking about this over the past few weeks, it's real to me. And if I don't have the Lord's help to walk me through this, this can destroy me as quick as anything else. Any other sin that can come into my life. There are some things that can temper my feelings about this. And one of those is the golden rule. As you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. This is after the hurt, after the offense has come to me. It's time for me now to recognize. I'll tell you what, how would I want to be treated if I were the offender? I was thinking of this. You know, I'd like for people to give me the benefit of the doubt. What that means is to believe something good about someone rather than something bad when you have the opportunity to go either way. I say, Lord, help me. This is something more than going down to a religious store and getting a book on positive thinking. Yes. This is saying, Lord, I need you to take control of my thinking. Because I tell you, these places right here are the ones that you can wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and can't go back to sleep because it's churning in your head what someone did or what someone said. And the Lord all the time tells me, don't think you're going to escape. It's impossible, but that offenses are going to come. You know, it can happen on my job. It can happen on the interstate when someone cuts you off in traffic. Offenses are going to come. Lord, help me that when they do, I'll be able to respond with the help of the Lord in those times. It's going to be a great benefit to us. There is something that the Lord is interested in. If it says he's not willing that any would perish, want me to make heaven my home, if I would just recognize, you know what, some of these things that come into my life that touch me so hard that I wish they did not happen, could it be the very thing that can help me make heaven my home? I say, Lord, help me. Let's look at a verse in Psalms. Psalms 138 and 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Now, if I just take this verse and just apply it to myself when hurts come to me. Lord, I want you to perfect that which concerneth me. Sometimes his perfecting us comes in ways that we never would have asked for. His mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Don't forsake the work of your hands. Lord, what you've started in me, don't let it stop because of some trouble that comes along in my life. We sang, the song was sung just a little bit ago, and I've been thinking about it with this message. There's been times when giving and loving brought pain. You know, that can happen in our families. That can happen with loved ones around us when I feel like, you know what, I gave of myself, I loved, I did, and it just didn't return like I thought it would be. You know what's so easy for us to do is I pull up in my shell and say, I tell you what, I'm going to have to insulate myself from the possibility of being hurt again. So I do the old turtle trick and just pull up in my shell. This way no one's going to hurt me, and I'm not going to hurt anyone. And yet it may be that the Lord is wanting to perfect that which concerneth me. Now there's other messages would be, this is a lopsided message because I'm using it only for me when hurts come to me. There is another message that says, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. I also want to take that one and say, Lord, I don't want to just look out at the one that's been offending me. You got it coming to you. Because I think of Stephen, how he was able to do. That was a pretty serious offense. He preached a message. Now he's catching stones for it. He could have easily said, I tell you what, y'all are going to catch it. You'll pay for it one day. What did he say? Don't lay this sin to their charge. He had an offense come, but he rose up on top of it. For us today, it says, in those times that I gave and it brought pain, I promised I'd never let it happen again. You know what? People go the rest of their lives insulating themselves against troubles that could come. But then it says, I found out that loving was well worth the risk, and that even in losing, you gain. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. And you know what he wants me to do? Is just keep on loving and keep on giving, because he left us an example. I'm going to give until there's just no more to give. I'm going to love, love till there's just no more love. And then I could never outlove the Lord. There's something that's real important for me when an offense comes to me. And that is a prayer that I need to pray to the Lord. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O Lord. Know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, And Lord, see if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I've got a desire. I want to make heaven my home. So I want you to send into my life anything that would help me to be able to make it. Could it possibly be that some of these things are what he's using to refine me, to perfect me, to drive me closer to the Lord? I was thinking about Jesus. When he, to all of his disciples, he said, "One of you will betray me." Now, why did he need to do that? He knew who it was going to be. He revealed it at the end of that time. But he put it out that way, and I see the result that came from it. They all started saying, they all did a self-inventory. Lord, did they say, "Lord, is it that one over there or that one? Lord, is it I?" And I think it's real important for me in times like this to say, "Lord, is there something that you want to help me with in this? Lord, help me." Here's another searchlight, and it's not intended to try to search the other person. I'm finding, you know what, the Lord loves me enough that he wants to hone in on me. And boy, I look over my past life at times when I could have done this better, saved myself a whole lot of trouble. And I say, "But Lord, thank you for bringing it now." Because, you know what, we're kind of fresh into this year. I would like to be able to ask the Lord, "Lord, this year, I would like for you to be able to help me. You've already told me offenses are coming. So Lord, when they come, give me wisdom to know how you would have me to walk through them." There is a place that I need to do some examining. It's in 1 Corinthians. We call it the chapter on love, 13th chapter. There are some verses in here that would apply to me. I say, "Lord, help me when offenses come to me." Charity suffereth long, the fourth verse. "And while it's suffering, it's kind." It's kind even to the one that has brought those things to me. It doesn't say it suffers long and it tells everybody about it. It suffers long and there's still kindness in the middle of it. "Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doesn't behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked." I looked at this verse. "Thinketh no evil." Puts the best light possible on the things that were done to me. Maybe they really didn't mean it that way. "Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity." I read this commentary. "Finds no pleasure when the offender is in trouble." It says, "Perhaps there is no greater triumph of the gospel than its enabling a man to rejoice that even his enemy or persecutor is in any respect does well, or to rejoice that he is in any way honored and respected among people. Human nature without the gospel manifests a different feeling." Rejoices not in iniquity. "Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things." That song that was sung, "I could never outlove the Lord." And if I could look at offenses that came to the Son of God and how he went through those things and left me an example that I could follow in his steps, I have to say, "Lord, help me." There's a verse over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and in the 32nd verse, "Be ye kind one to another." This is what I want to have flow back out of my life, no matter what comes to me, what offenses may come Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, I needed a lot of these things to have something to compare it to, because it seemed like a pretty big thing when an offense comes to me. But if I could just realize the things that came to Jesus. And did he pull up in his shell and say, I tell you what, I'm going back to my house. Whoop, didn't have a house. I'm just going to turn everything back inside. I have nothing to give to anybody else. I can't take this. But instead, he was willing to give and keep on giving until he gave everything for me. There is another verse that I want to look at. In Proverbs, the 31st chapter. You know, this chapter down in the 10th verse, it tells us, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. What I want to look at is with this, I don't want to look at it just being for the woman. I want to look at it as being for all of us, men and women. There was something about this woman, a quality. 31 and 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom. You know, I look back over my life and open my mouth a lot of times. And I thought it was wisdom when I opened it. And I look back later and said, I don't know what I was thinking when I cut loose with all that. I thought I was in the right and it needed to be said. And look back and say, whew, I wish I'd have not opened my mouth because it wasn't with wisdom. But this one says there's something else that happens. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Lord, help me that in my tongue would be the law of kindness. That no matter what comes to me, no matter where it comes from, that I would be able to be kind. What does it say? Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me. We get to see Jesus' heart after a lot of offenses have come to him. You know, he went and he looked out over Jerusalem and he didn't say, y'all got it coming. He started weeping. He said, if you would have only known. He said, how often I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. You know, there were offenses that came to the Jews. They were ruled by the Romans. And there were a lot of things that were offensive. You know, Jesus came with a message that did not deliver them from the Roman rule. But he said, I've got a peace that I'll give you. It's not like the world can give. What he wanted to give them was a peace no matter what's happening around them. You know, that same thing is what he wants to give to us tonight. What is the song? There are storms that we all encounter. Do not fear, they will do you no harm. In the Lord you will find protection in the shelter of his arms. That's a promise. Jesus made a promise to us. I've got some peace I want to give you. That peace would have carried them through even if the Romans would have continued to rule them and rule them with a rough hand. Jesus could have given them peace. I find that Jesus has the same peace for me today when I'll follow it his way. And this area is a dangerous place for me because I can feel so justified that they hurt me. One thing I need to realize is forgiveness is so valuable for me. You know, when offense comes to me, if I'm not careful, if I turn it loose too easy, they won't even realize how bad I got hurt. So I can carry it along for a little while. There's something that I need to realize, and Jesus made this verse about as strong as any verse that he ever made. That he ever gave, and it was, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, You know, that has nothing to do with what they do on their end of it. It's about me releasing it, just letting it go, and having a forgiveness. If I don't forgive men their trespasses, I will not be forgiven. And folks, when he's trying to perfect that which concerneth me, I'm needing him to show a lot of mercy to me. So I want to show it to others. He left us an example in 1 Peter. First Peter 2 and 19. It starts down here talking about when I can have trouble come to me. It says, this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And then look at this next verse. For even hereunto were you called. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. It says he was tempted in all points, like we are, yet without sin. And now he comes along and says, Dan, I tell you what, I want to help you to have the same testimony in the things that come our way. Tempted in all points. When he came to the point that the multitude was saying, crucify him, and then he hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was a big offense coming to him, and he released it with a desire for them to be forgiven. We sing a song sometimes. It says, oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. It says, oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep in my heart. That's what I want to be able to have in my life. Paul, in his lifetime, he caused some offenses and he received some offenses. I was reading this in Acts 26 and 10. You remember when he was on his way to Damascus? It wasn't a pleasant trip intended for the Christians. He even says in this 10th verse, 26th chapter of Acts, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. You know, that'd be something for Paul to have to live with. He caused some offenses. It says he happened to testify against them when they were being put to death, so some of them died for it. And then he becomes a minister. And he goes traveling around wanting to help some folks. I just in my mind wonder, could he have ever come back to a congregation where this one is missing? You know, he's got to do something with the offenses he caused, because they can ruin him out in the future, even after God has forgiven him. But you know, he also had some offenses come to him. One of them was when 40 men, remember Paul said about the Jews, my heart's desire is that Israel would be saved. That's just what I want, all the Jews to be able to be saved. Well, 40 of them didn't want anything to do with it. In fact, they banded together And they said, we will not eat or drink again until Paul is dead. And that news comes to Paul. You know, every one of us have something inside us that would like to be liked. And that's far from being liked when somebody says, I won't eat again until he's dead. Paul had to put up with some of those things. Paul had places where he was ministering and multitudes were getting saved. And then here comes some Jews and stirs up the people and Paul gets stoned. But he keeps on moving. And he gives us something that's very important. In Philippians 3 and 4 and 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I want us to think about this with offenses. Here's what I'm going to do. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, both offenses that had come to him and offenses that he caused that he had been forgiven of, he's going to do something with them now. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, memory can be a blessing. It can also be a curse if we let it. Lest Satan should get an advantage, because we're not ignorant of his devices. But you know what? If I'm not real careful, I can be ignorant of his devices and seeing how he's wanting to work. Here's how memory can be a curse. How is it that at my age, I can lose my keys and I had them 20 minutes ago and I cannot remember where I left them? But I can remember what somebody did to me 20 years ago. Now, you don't think the devil has a little way of working in there? I believe he does. 66 years old can affect where I left my keys and can't remember it. But there's something else that can cause these other things to come up. And I can do like Paul with God's help, forgetting those things that are behind. I saw a poem about forgetting. But maybe before that poem, there needs to be another one written about forgiving it. Just forgive it. And then just forget it. This poem says, if you've not been treated right, and you know what, every one of us could raise our hand and say at some time, I wasn't treated right. If you've not been treated right, just forget it. Don't get ready for a fight, but forget it. Life's too short to hold a grudge. 'Twill your happiness besmudge. Anyway, you're not the judge, so forget it. There's something that's real important here for us to look at. I'm headed for eternity. I've got a little bit of span here before I'm gone. Those things will make no difference when I'm on the other side, no matter what comes my way. Paul was able to get a glimpse of that when he said, with all the stonings, with all the shipwrecks, with all the things that happened in his life, he said, these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us, you know what, some of those would have been some offenses, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. Those things that can come to me that I really wish the Lord never allowed them to happen could be my salvation if I will see the Lord's hand working in it and also see the devil's hand working in it. Here is where Satan would like to cause me to get involved in this. This says, if you've been misunderstood, just forget it. Say I did the best I could, then forget it. If you can't have it your own way, don't be small enough to say, well, I guess I just won't play, but forget it. Then it says, if someone slanders you, just forget it. And say I'm glad it wasn't true, then forget it. Even if you lose a friend and the breach you cannot mend, here it goes, it's going to pay you in the end. with eternity coming out ahead for us. It's going to pay you in the end to just forget it. It's impossible, but that offenses are going to come. So I think what the Lord was telling us is, be ready for it, prepare for it. Do like we do when we're going down the interstate and it's trying to warn us, 2 miles down the road, this left lane is closed, so start merging on over and get ready for it. Is it possible that I could walk close enough to the Lord that He would let me know, you've got a weak area here, Dan? This is a place that Satan could touch. Strengthen that area, because somebody is going to come one day and say something to you that can hurt your feelings. I've been so challenged by hurts that people have gotten, and it passes from generation to generation. You would think the next generation would say, I can't remember what it was, so come on, let's all be friends. But it didn't happen that way. Nor does the devil want it to happen that way. I remember reading the story of the Hatfields and McCoys. And what a story that was. Two families that could have had them a good time together. And before that situation was over, there were several on both sides that had been killed. And that thing passed down for a long, long time. I read an article, and whether it's true or not, I don't know. But it said the father of one of those sides, after many years, he got saved. If that's so, that's wonderful that it happened. But my, what it would have been if he could have gotten a victory a long time ago. Because, you know, sometimes if we would just really stop and think, the thing that hurt me, we sing a song sometimes, it will matter but little at last. Whether small and unknown or a king on his throne, it's going to matter but little at last. Lord, help me to start measuring the things that come into my life that cause me distress, that wake me up in the middle of the night where someone has not treated me right. And help me to realize, put it in the scale, Lord, I'm headed for eternity. I'm going to be there forever. First of all, Lord, help me to forgive him. Is it possible that I can forgive and forget? I may never be able to erase the memory of it out of my mind, but I believe the Lord would like to help me that when the memory does come back, I can see a big old stamp on that memory, forgiven by the Lord, maybe, if they called on him, but by me, for sure. Because if I use no other scripture, I want to use that one scripture. If you don't forgive men their trespasses, Dan, I won't forgive yours. And I need his mercy shown to me throughout my life. He has been merciful. You know, scripture says his mercy endureth forever. I'm thankful for that. It has extended to me. Lord, help me to extend it to others. I may not be able to change. Here's the thing. If my victory only depends on the offender changing, I may never have victory. So Jesus didn't say, I've got peace to give you, but it all depends on what this other party does. I am so thankful that the Lord said, Dan, you do your part, and you can have the victory through it all, and have a love for others that he would have us to have. I desire your prayers.